everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. We are going to be starting, first of all, with the announcement as to the format change of the show. I wanted to put this right at the start so none of you missed it, but we are going to be changing the format of the show to make it a lot more enjoyable for all of you, at least I hope so, and that is by moving the review portion of the show, the different things that we talk about right up top, to the end of the show. That means that the show is going to be running like this. It is going to start with the intro, then to who the episode is dedicated to, where the facts came from, and then straight into our transition period into the facts of the show. After all of the facts, we are going to read your special reviews, any funny stories that you might have to share, or anything other of the like. This is because of two of you special listeners out there, or if you are still listeners, have left some very important critical feedback to the show that has really brought to my attention something that I was not entirely aware of. We have sort of toyed around with different ways of putting in the reviews and talking to you guys. I have tried putting timestamps in the description or the show notes of each episode, but I understand how annoying it can be to have to always check the description rather than just clicking on play and listening. So thank you to these two listeners, Dat, and then with a few letters that are together that would be hard for me to pronounce, and Aneski1. So I am just going to read these two reviews because I think they are so, so important. And as I've said, I cherish the critical stuff. I cherish all of it because the show is for you guys. So Dat writes, literally over 9 minutes of admin. And then Aneski1 writes, really wanted to like this podcast. Perfect for bedtime. However, one third of the show being taken up by a rambling intro and with a host that talks like there is a period or comma after every word. It's difficult to relax and listen to. It's a shame because it's a good concept. Now, there are actually two very important points that Aneski1 puts here. The one in which will be solved with a format change where at the end, for those of you that really like the reviews and like those sorts of things, you can just listen right up until the end. But then there is that other super important point, and that is a tendency to talk a certain way when I get particularly or oddly excited about something. I listened to some of the podcast episodes, especially the very recent ones, which was difficult for me to do. I do not particularly like or enjoy listening to my own voice, but I noticed a particularly interesting mannerism that I have picked up when I get this kind of giddy excitedness about something, that I will pause every so often, and I have noticed it in the editing. It is funny to me because at the beginning of the show, 97 episodes ago, when I would get really excited, I would talk super fast. Then when I got that a little bit under control, it seems as though something new has arisen to take its place. I will do my best to stay away from that little mannerism that I seem to have picked up in recent episodes. And so those are two things in total. One being a format change to ensure that you can just click play and listen to the podcast. And for those of you that wish to hear the reviews that you've sent in and things of that nature, it will be at the very end of the show. This show is about animal facts, and I do not want my rambling necessarily taking precedent over that. And the second thing being, is this mannerism that Aneski One has put ever so wittingly and ever so well by talking as if there is a period or comma after every word. And so I just wanted to open the show with that to let you guys know what is going on. All new episodes, including the next one, which is episode number 100, which is a big deal, will start with this format. I thank all of you for your tremendous patience with me as a host, and I thank those two listeners who wrote some critical feedback that will hopefully make the rest of us a lot happier. So welcome everyone to the Relax with Animal Facts podcast. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a feathery friend of ours, because we are covering the oh so wonderful barn owl. This, of course, is a very, very special listener episode dedicated to Samantha, who wrote in with this very wide-eyed and amazingly cool animal suggestion. I hope you enjoy your very own episode, and if you want to learn more about a particular animal, you can send a message to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram. You can also send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can submit your animal suggestion on relaxwithanimalfacts.com. I look forward to each and every one of your suggestions, because they are what make the show go round. I got my facts from allaboutbirds.org and chatnaturecenter.org. Each of these resources will be in the show notes or the description of this episode. This episode would not have been possible without these resources. So if you want to learn more, please go and check them out. And now I would like for all of you to notice perhaps where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the head? Is it in the legs or the shoulders or the arms? You'll notice that we are all incredibly different in this case. For me, it seems to be mostly in the head. So if you guys can do your best to try to relax all of those portions of your body as we go into the grasslands where the barn owl resides. This ghostly pale and normally strictly nocturnal animal, the barn owl, is a silent predator of the night world. It is lanky with a whitish face, chest, and belly, as well as these very puffy upper parts. This animal will prefer to roost in hidden, quiet places during the day, and at night, they will be on the hunt. This is particularly why this animal is known as a nocturnal animal. Nocturnal animals are ones that are awake and eat and hunt during the nighttime, spending most of their daytime asleep, unlike many other animals that we have covered. If you are ever walking in an open field or a meadow in their particular range, which we will find out about in just a moment, You can find them by listening for their sort of eerie, raspy call, quite unlike the hoots of other owls. So when you heard that hoot at the top of the show, you might have thought to yourself, that is not exactly what I imagined an owl to sound like. But that is just something that gives the owl just a little bit more of a unique zest and is what makes them all the more awesome. Now, if you have not already Google image searched these amazing creatures, I will attempt to do my best to describe exactly what they look like. This owl has a prominent white heart-shaped facial disc, dark eyes, and no ear tufts, like some other owl species have. The legs are long and unfeathered, just like you and me. The plumage is sandy brown, streaked with white and blue, with pale or white underparts. This is a creature which provokes a special sense of admiration, at least to me, just because they are such a distinctive, not only animal in the broader sense, but such a distinctive owl. Once you have seen this owl, it will be pretty challenging to be able to mix it up with other owls just by their physical appearance. And let us move on to the range and the habitats of these creatures. They are nearly worldwide in distribution, and the barn owl can be found in Australia, Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and Europe, as well as North and South America. It is most common between the latitudes of 40 North and 40 South of the equator. So for any of you listeners that were waiting to hear just where the latitude of this creature is, now you know. This nearly worldwide distribution, this means that you would not have to travel to some remote part of the world in which you are unfamiliar. You would be able to find this creature in so many parts of the world, which just means more enjoyment for us. You would be able to look in the stony eyes of this creature in many different places, such as those that we have listed. And if you are in Australia, Asia, the Middle East, Africa, Europe, North or South America, you're going to have to know where to look. And the habitat of the barn owl is going to be in the grasslands. And this particular owl species will rely on these open fields for hunting. Agriculture has really opened up the eastern forest in the 1800s, meaning the barn owl's range has expanded tremendously since that time. Recent plowing and urbanization of grasslands has, of course, reduced this available habitat, which has led to a subsequent reduction in barn owl numbers in those newly urbanized areas. We might be able to pick up a couple of pieces of the puzzle to start putting it together as to why in the world is the barn owl named the barn owl. This animal is what is known as a cavity nester. The barn owl readily uses human-made structures, and they are well known in Europe for using buildings and even church steeples as their nest sites. So these guys are pretty adaptable to many different environments. This owl will also use properly placed nest boxes. The barn owl can be a prolific breeder, hatching two broods in only a single year. The typical number of young is between 3 to 6, but broods of up to 18 young have been reported. Now, I have not seen many human parents with 18 children, So the barn owl has to be given some sort of credit for that. And so as we learned, the barn owl is a nocturnal species. The barn owl hunts over fields and grasslands, preying primarily on small voles, mice, and rats. Some more wonderful animal suggestions for us in the future. And the dependence of this barn owl on this food makes it very susceptible to habitat loss. Of course, we know that ecosystems strike such an amazing balance, and it is not just something of a single variable. One variable change can cause a difference all throughout an ecosystem. If one animal has its food sources taken away, for example, that will also mean great expanse of that population that no longer has this predator to keep it in check, which will result in massive changes over the ecosystem that will ripple through and change many different things that we may not have even guessed when we change just one single variable. And now I would just like to say a bunch of different very cool barn owl facts. Although widely known beforehand, it was in 1769 when Giovanni Scopoli, a Tyrolean naturalist, first officially described the European barn owl. So we have had this animal named as it is for quite some time. It is an etymology that is not very young, but is moderately on the older side. The ear openings are at slightly different levels on the head and set at even different angles. They are covered by a flexible ruff made of short, dense feathers, which will frame their face and also turn them into a sort of dish-like amplifier for sound. Almost like a feathery little speaker, it will be able to really get that raspy hoot of theirs out for some distance. They are going to be about 14 to 20 inches tall, with a wingspan of 40 to 45 inches. Something very common among owls in particular, as well as many other birds. Their wingspan is going to be nearly, or over, rather, double the size of their height. This makes for an incredibly easy and effortless flight for them. Their bodies are so incredibly aerodynamic that they are able to really go through the air with grace as well as speed. But if you see an owl doing this, it means that they feel threatened. And when threatened, they lower their heads, spread their wings, and sway from side to side while making a growling sound. This defensive act is known as toe dusting. This is something I believe should be imported into our day-to-day human society. Perhaps you're at the airport and you have just been told by one of the workers that your flight has been delayed. At that point, you may lower your head, spread out your arms, and sway from side to side while making a growling sound, and with perfect form, like the barn owl, doing what is called toe dusting. The joking aside, the barn owl, when they are the ones that are being threatening and going to hunt, they can eat more than their own weight of mice and rats in a single evening. They are very efficient predators, and that will make for a full belly, and not just a full belly, but a belly full of more than their own weight. And you might have noticed something about the barn owl, and that is that they have no teeth. This means that they do not have that kind of mechanical digestion that we have with our teeth, in which we chew and swallow our food. they swallow their prey whole, the skin, the bones, and all. And about twice a day, they will cough up pellets instead of passing all of that inedible material through their digestive tracts. The pellets actually make a great record of what the owls have eaten. Say you are a researcher attempting to find out more, in which you will study them to know about ecosystems that this barn owl is in. And now let us move on to the final fact of the episode, which is the name barn owl. Where does it come from? In case you have not already guessed, they are named so because of the particular areas that they reside in. In this case, they are seen in sort of those open grasslands in which they have an agricultural setting, and so they are called the barn owl. They will also inhabit silos and water tanks, but I think personally the barn owl sounds better than the water tank owl. Thank you all for joining me on our wonderful adventure in which we have gone into the grasslands where the owl flies and catches mice and rats. If you want to learn more about a particular animal that you find cool, be sure to reach out to the show by writing to the Instagram Relax with Animal Facts. You can also send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. Or lastly, you can always submit a request to the Animal Requests section on the official relaxwithanimalfacts.com website. I am going to read a review from Ashulta, who wrote in all the way from the United States of America, and Ashulta writes, "Love this podcast. I'm too interested in the facts to fall asleep, but it really helps me relax after a long day. Likeable host who clearly loves these creatures just as much as I do. More snakes, please." Thank you, Ashulta, for the wonderful review. I am glad that this podcast can serve somewhat of a dual purpose, in which some of you find it easier to fall asleep to, but some of you prefer to stay as wide-eyed as the barn owl. We will definitely be covering a snake soon. I think a snake episode is well overdue. For those of you that wish to continue our little journeys into the grasslands to see this barn owl, you can head on over to the Patreon, patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. There are currently 3 or 4, I believe, exclusive continuation episodes already available, and you can join us there for more podcast episodes. Thank you all for listening to this podcast episode. I hope that you will all join me for the next episode with the next animal. Take care.